success. Media. Network. 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 Network.
This is your show.
Good day, successors. I'm Antonio Holman, and welcome to the Four Principles of Success, number 49, where I chat with successful people and entrepreneurs about how they enhance their businesses and lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. And if you want to learn how I stay motivated throughout the years, check out my new book, Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success, now on Amazon. Today, we're talking to Anmol Singh. Anmol is located in New York, New York, and is an entrepreneur, real estate investor, and successful stock and forex trader. Anmol started trading during his early college years without much luck. After a year or so, he discovered a pattern that allowed him to go from zero to profitable trader. To date, he has generated many profits for himself and his investors, continues to remain an outstanding force in the trading world. Alongside his market trading activities, Anmol is also an avid real estate investor with a large portfolio that includes two other tech-based companies he's funded, as well as franchise stores in the automotive sector. Today, he spends most of the day managing funds and working with his students of Live Traders, which he co-founded in 2014. Anmol, are you ready to help our listeners prepare for success?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So, aside from your busy business world, tell us a little bit about your personal life.
Sure. My personal life is pretty much occupied by business, as you said. I have some really, big goals that I'm working towards, and I have made some, personal life sacrifices along the way. But as far as my personal life is concerned, I'm just a average guy. If you meet me, you won't be able to, think any differently. I like to have a, good time out, enjoy food, trying new places out. And travel, apart from business, travel is the biggest passion that I have.
For those who may not know about what Live Traders is and what inspired you to create it, tell us about that.
Sure. The inspiration for Live Traders basically came out of necessity. I was in college. That's where I started trading. I was learning how to trade back then. And in the meanwhile, I was also applying for jobs. Applied for a bunch of different jobs, got the interviews, got to the last stages of it, but never really got a call back, never really got a job. I just got to the final stages of the interview, and that happened over and over and over again. So then I had no other option but to really just, focus and learn how actually trading works. And, it was basically out of the inspiration for that came out of necessity. But when I really started getting into it, my curiosity really kicked in. And when you're curious about something, learning doesn't feel like work. It just feels like, you're excited when you're learning that. So that's how I really came about in trading industry.
So what inspired you really to like create your own company? Is it just because you seemed as if the door was shut and you couldn't get through it? So you just decided I'll just create my own way.
That's pretty much the thinking that I had. But one of the reasons that I created my own trading company was the fact that before this, I was consulting for another trading education firm. So I was brought on board as a consultant. I was consulting them on their marketing, on their trading styles, on what the traders should be doing to get to the next level. So I was basically joined them as a consultant. And what I noticed there was there's a lot of, hocus pocus stuff that happens in the trading education industry where there might be a handful of traders and the rest of them are actually marketers. So that didn't sit well with me. I was, I always considered that if you're teaching how to trade, you have to be a trader. And I just didn't like the practices that were going on in my previous firms, which led me to start my own firm that we are, for traders, by traders. And the fact that we trade every single day allows us to teach even more effectively than perhaps the other education firms.
What's the difference between trading stocks and trading forex?
Well, the difference really is not much in the mechanics of it, because trading is trading. If you know how to trade one thing, you can trade the other thing without any problem. The main difference is with stocks, you're trading companies like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, whereas with Forex, you're trading currencies like the US dollar against the British pound, the euro against the yen. So you're trading one currency against another, betting on the prices of that currency getting stronger or weaker as compared to the second currency. Whereas with the stocks, you're just betting on the price of the company's stock going up or down.
What were the aspects of the tech world that really connected with you to where you decided to get into the tech world on an entrepreneurial level?
Well, the biggest factor for that was that when we started Live Traders, it was an online business. We were already pretty tech oriented. And even in my trading, I was trying to find out ways to automate trading, to how I can automate the process so I don't have to manually do every single thing, which led me to creating this firm called Trading Algo Systems, where we had a team of developers that were trying to automate my style of trading, creating trading software, robots, things of that nature. And eventually I ended up selling that firm to another company, which could, you know, take the project on better than I could have controlled it, because I got what I wanted to get out of the project. So I ended up selling that project later on.
What are three main things people need to know in order to be a good stock or Forex trader?
Well, they need to have an open mind. They need to have the willingness to learn. And more so, they have to have an attitude of a growth mindset. Whereas, you know, it's not about being right. It's about making money. It's about what works. It's about what makes money. Whereas most people really get tied into, you know, being right. They get into a stock, it's going against them. And instead of getting out and taking the small little loss, they keep holding because, you know, they want to be proven right. Stock's going to come back up, you know, it's going to come back up. I'm going to buy more. And they just keep hoping. And, you know, hope is not a strategy. They have to realize that it's a statistics-based game. And if you got to play the odds, it's not about, you know, being right. It's not about you. Don't take it personal and just focus on the process.
What do you say to those people who say that Forex trading is just blind gambling? What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, it is probably blind gambling for them because they have no idea what they're talking about, right? It's like me getting into the NFL and saying, I want to become a pro NFL player in 2 days. You know, it's not going to happen. So same thing with trading. If you just read a book or you watch CNBC, it doesn't make you a trader. You know, it's a whole body of knowledge. And, you know, Forex market is the world's biggest market ever. It's bigger than the world's real estate market combined. It's bigger than all of the world's stock markets combined. Right. So, I mean, there's a reason that there's all that money in there. Right. The world's biggest billionaires are Forex traders. So, you know, when they talk about it being gambling, you know, clearly shows their, you know, ignorance and their lack, their naivety pretty much.
Now, to make proper decisions when Forex trading, what are the three main things that people need to pay attention to?
I think same thing as I mentioned earlier with the stock trading. They need to have an open mind, a willingness to learn, and treat it as a business. It's not you coming in, pushing the button. You buying or selling a trade doesn't make you a trader. You know, there's a whole process behind it. It's like, you know, doctors go to, you know, medical school, lawyers go to law school, they study all these years, and then they become that. So people cannot expect to compete with me, my team of traders, traders from Goldman Sachs, traders from Bank of America, by just opening a brokerage account. You got to learn. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to last very long.
Well, let me rephrase that question. While Forex trading, what are three things you need to pay attention to during the process that helps you read whether or not that currency is going up or down? What, you know, what things can manipulate the currency?
Right. Well, there's many factors of what can influence the currency. There's fundamental reasons and there's technical reasons. At least in my firm, we focus purely on technicals. So technicals would mean looking at the prior history of that currency pair, looking at that chart, looking at that graph. And based on that, we have some strategies and tactics that we deploy. And those strategies and tactics have their own statistics. So one pattern that we trade might have a win rate of 65%. So if it's got a win rate of 65%, you know, we just got to keep pushing the button, because overall, we're going to win 65% of the time. So, you know, we're focusing on technicals, the graphs, the chart, the trend of the currency. We like to play in the direction of the trend. So if the currency is, you know, going up, we would want to bet in that direction rather than trying to pick the top and, you know, looking to go counter trend. Because there's a saying in trading, the trend is your best friend. So that's what we stay with, is the trend. Whereas for the fundamental reasons, there are just so many factors that influence fundamentals. It could be the GDP of a country. It could be the, you know, the foreign interest rates being raised or lowered. There's just a variety of factors that influence the price of currency fundamentally. But everything can be seen on a chart, on a graph. And that's what we focus on.
And there's always a risk of daily politics that can manipulate that market too, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's always risk, but in the end, what we're looking for is we have patterns that have been back tested for tens of years, right? Over tens of years, that pattern might have a win rate, as I said, of 65%. So if it's got a win rate of 65%, let's assume it's 60%. So there's a win rate of 60%. That means you're going to take 10 of those trades. Six of them are going to win. Four of them are going to lose. And those four could be because maybe some news happened or something happened or just the trade didn't work out. But what matters is over the long run, six are still going to work. So you just keep pushing the button based on that strategy and the results will take care of themselves. It's sort of like a casino, right? They just want more people to play because they have a certain edge and they're going to win that edge no matter what. And they keep wanting more and more people to play. That's the same thing with trading too. Once you have a pattern that works, you just want to keep playing more and more of them.
What were the two tech companies you funded and how did you initially get involved with them?
Well, the first one, as I mentioned, was Trading Algo Systems. Trading Algo Systems was initially, I started that company and was mainly creating, you know, software algorithms for myself and my firm. And then slowly what we happened was we had a team of developers that were pretty much done with what I wanted them to create. So we started creating them for other people then. Started creating it for other firms. They were coming at us with their specifications or what sort of system they want, the black box they want. So we were building that for them. And eventually, you know, there was one of the companies who was the biggest client. They placed the most orders. And they just said, you know what, we're placing all these orders from you. We're just interested in buying you out. And then I was okay with that because I wasn't interested in that project anymore. So I sold that project. The other one was a social media management type of company, QuickSM. That company was started initially it's almost like a Hootsuite or a buffer where it allows people to post at all social medias at one point. So we started that, and then that was acquired by a competitor company. They basically just acquired us to get us out of the game, mm-hmm. But that was okay with me.
That's interesting. It's always interesting to me when I hear companies buying other companies, and basically it's because they're trying to kill their competition. That's funny.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. If other people are interested in getting into tech sector as investors or even creating startups, what initial tips would you give them to help lead them to success?
Well, one of the biggest things I would say is if you don't have something unique, don't do it. You know, I hate to discourage people, but you have to have something unique. A lot of people these days are focusing on creating something that's already there. So there's two ways you can do this. Either you create something totally new, right, totally revolutionary, or you take something that's already there and improve upon it in a way that the other competitor might take a while to catch up on. And you should focus on acquiring users, because once you have users, even if your business is not successful, there will be competitors who would just want to, you know, get a piece of that to get you out. And that's a good approach to have. But you need to have something with an edge. You cannot create the same thing again. And that's what a lot of people are doing wrong these days is they see Facebook, they want to try and create their own social media. They see Kickstarter, they want to start creating something of their own. And they're just trying to copy what the other guy is doing. And I think it's perfectly fine copying as long as you improve upon something or as long as you have another brand new feature. And also, if it's something tech-based, know the tech sector. Because with me, I started that social media company. When I got the offer, I didn't have to think twice. I wanted to sell it right away because I'm not a tech guy myself. So what if there was an update on Facebook API or Twitter API? I'm not a tech guy. I got to recode the app again. So I would have had a pretty bad business because I was not a tech guy. So for me, selling that business made sense.
Every day is different for all of us. Every day is an up and down situation. Throughout your journey, what was the time you felt most unsuccessful in your life?
I think that was my first year of trading. I was in college, so that's where I started trading. And my first year, I didn't make any money. I lost actually $10,000 the whole first year of my trading. So that was the lowest point because I was seeing my friends. You know, we were living in college together. They were getting jobs and, you know, people were going out and doing their thing. Some people were doing master's degrees. Some people were, you know, getting nice jobs. And I was still in my dorm room trying to figure out how this trading thing works. So, you know, that was a tough point, seeing everybody have jobs and me trying to sit in my room and trying to learn how to trade while losing money at the same time. So, you know, that was a tough part, but I persevered through it because I always was looking at the bigger picture. What I was thinking was, you know what, okay, 1 year of struggle, but, you know, if I make it, the bright side is way too bright. So for me, that just kept me going.
What do you feel was one of the hardest things in your business to overcome, but you've since conquered?
Well, the hardest thing in my business. Okay. So the hardest thing is to realize, you know, treating it as a business. Because if you're starting your first ever business, you know, a lot of people treat it like it's a gig or it's the one man shop. And, you know, they're trying to take all the, keep all the money. So they might make $10,000 in the business, right? And they might take out themselves $10,000 and you're not leaving any room for growth. And that's something what we did early on is, you know, we were making money and we were just taking all of it out and not really putting it back into the company, but getting that mindset of having a company based for growth where you're reinvesting your profits, where you're hiring. And that's what's going to enable you to go to the next level, because it's very easy to, you know, sit at home and then, you know, work at it yourself, because it feels like we can do everything. I can answer the emails. I can do the customer support. You know, I can upload the videos. I can do the social media. And yes, you can. But then that doesn't give you any more time to think about next ventures, next projects, the bigger picture. So you have to realize how to delegate. You have to realize to look at your business from a 360-degree, you know, overview, from a bigger height, like a hot air balloon. You're in a hot air balloon. You're looking down at your business. You got to look at the bigger picture, right? Because then you're going to seek out strategic advances, people to meet, people to do business with, and that's how you're going to grow. Whereas most people get tied in as a one-man shop trying to do everything.
Mm-hmm. What one thing in your business are you currently struggling to overcome?
That exact same thing that I mentioned. You know, because when I started, it's still new for me in terms of trusting the right people. As I said, I'm opening a automotive franchise store here in New York. So that's sort of like my different industry that I'm going into, because I've been in the trading industry, trading education industry. All those are online, right? Tech-based industries I mentioned, that's also online. So I've always done a lot of online work. And except for the real estate, this is the big first physical business venture where I'm going to have a physical location and employees. And, you know, that's something that's going to be hard for me to initially trust people. But I realize I'm going to be in that business actively for like a year, you know, with my manager. And you learn how to trust him, learn how to delegate, and then so that I can eventually move out of that one store and then open another one. Whereas most people, they open a store, they get stuck in that store, and they're, you know, 60 years old, they're still in that store. They can never open two stores. And that's what I don't want to get into. I want to trust the manager and delegate, open another store, get another manager, trust him, open another store. And that's how I'm going to be able to expand.
What was your most challenging client-related situation, and how did you resolve it?
You know, client relationship, we actually didn't have any client-based issues, you know, surprisingly, as far as now, because we make it so clear in the beginning what exactly is going to be. And one of the reasons why businesses might have a lot of client issues or things like that is because maybe they haven't had a good onboarding process. So we have a good onboarding process. We never just take clients. First, they apply. We talk to them. We understand what exactly is they're looking for. And then they sign up, and then we tell them exactly what they're going to be getting, when they're going to be getting it. So there's no ambiguity. And it just makes it easier for the client to know when he's going to get what, and you know when what's going to be delivered. And that just makes it easier. The client issues happen usually when you have not explained to the client, you know, what they're going to be getting, when they're going to be getting it, you know, what's that going to do for them. You have to be able to answer all their objections, answer all their questions before they've signed up. And once you do that, you're not even going to have any client-related issues.
What do you feel is your one biggest business triumph to date?
Well, the biggest has been actually going into business, right? I could have given up in college. I could have said, you know what, I'm not getting a great job. Let me just take this mediocre job, right? It's easier to do that because people look for safety. I could have easily said, you know what, this is way too tough. I'm not getting this job in BMW that I wanted as a marketing executive. You know, let me try and get work for the startup. It's easier to say that. Let me work for this company down the road that, you know, I don't even know about. So a lot of people go for the easy thing. And the biggest triumph for me was that my mindset was never, I was lucky enough to didn't have that mindset of just, you know, working at the business down the road. I was always looking at, you know what, if I don't get the job I want, I'm going to just do my own thing. And being able to do that and take that next step, it definitely is the biggest triumph.
What do you feel is your one biggest personal triumph to date?
Personal triumph for me, you know, it's going to be more about being more open and being more sharing with people. You know, people always get tied up in their business-like setting. And when they go out to networking events or they meet somebody, they don't connect because they're so business mindset. What is this? What is that? What is it? And they're always looking for business. Whereas, you know, I learned to trust people. I learned how to connect with people and being open and, you know, my authentic self with people. That was a personal triumph that I had. Because when I started business, I wasn't like that. I would strictly, except for what I do in business and my name, you wouldn't know anything else about me. And now I try not to do that. I try to share exactly what I'm feeling, what's on my mind, and being able to be that open with people, it'll just create a different kind of connection.
Very important. That's what business is all about, relationships.
Exactly.
Hang tight, successors. We'll return to our conversation with Anmol Singh, as well as quick success after a word from our sponsors. Podcasters, want more listeners? Check out promosharecast.com and join the community today. That's promosharecast.com. Join today and get the first month free, and you'll also receive 50% off for a lifetime membership. Sign up today. promosharecast.com. Are you a tense, tired, busy person who works day in and day out, who tends to lack the proper sleep and energy? Using modular supplements, health-related articles, recipes, life hacks, and more, Bellison can help. With quality as high as Bellison, you're buying from a company that cares about the environment and only uses premium vegan supplements. That's Bellison.com. Want to learn how to cook healthy, exercise, and meditate in just 30 minutes a day? Bellison.com. Want to feel healthy, energetic, and focused like me? Bellison.com. To receive a 10% discount at checkout... Whoa, hold on. Now receive even more health benefits with a 20% discount at checkout. Go to Bellison.com with the coupon code THE4POS to get your 20% off now. Visit Bellison.com. That's BELISAN.com. Compassion and quality without compromise. Bellison.com. And we're back with Anmol Singh. Now we get into the part of the show I like to call Quick Success, where you, Anmol, can inspire the successors to enhance their lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. Anmol, what are you currently doing to enhance your knowledge?
For enhancing my knowledge, one of the things that I do is I constantly reinvest 10% of my net worth every single month, 10% of whatever I make every month back into my education. So I attend networking events, I attend conferences, I attend workshops, I constantly surround myself with the positive people. Like in July, I went to Tony Robbins live in New York City. That was awesome. So every month I do something, I go somewhere, some sort of event that can help me better myself, some sort of event that can help my business, some sort of event that I can learn something. So reinvesting 10% of what you make every month into one of that, it could be buying an online course. You know, doing that is, I would say, the best thing I could have done for myself.
What are you currently doing to enhance your health?
Well, I'm focusing on having the, you know, right supplementation. I am focusing on, you know, cutting dairy out. I'm trying to, you know, basically work on the diet aspect of it, cutting out things like sugar, cutting out things like, dairy, cutting out things like bread. So I'm trying to do that. Just, you know, trying to keep healthy, limit my food to, you know, vegetables, meat, but trying to cut out the, you know, white carbs.
What are you currently doing to enhance your wealth?
Everything I can, you know, to increase my wealth, I am reinvesting it back. So I make money in trading. I put that back into my trading education business, teach others how to trade. You know, that creates more income. I take that money, maybe put it in another business or put it in real estate. And I just keep recycling that same money so that, you know, it keeps building over time. And I'm proud to say it's doing really well. And in 10 years, I'm going to get paid for that.
What are you currently doing to enhance your spirituality?
Spirituality is big for me. I'm a really spiritual person. I attend retreats. I go to various different sorts of spirituality retreats. I study a lot in terms of spirituality, read a lot of spiritual books, and I try and meditate at least like once a day, usually at the nighttime. Somehow I can do it in the morning. So, you know, I do that. I meditate. I take some time being present, walking around in nature, just, you know, not even thinking anything, no music too, just walking around, looking around, being present, looking at these trees, looking at anything, just being present. So I think that's big. And I think people should, at least if they have a busy schedule in a year, at least take 2 weekends where you're going out somewhere in the woods, somewhere in the nature, and that will create a connection like no other.
Are there any modern apps or technologies that you use to help you achieve success?
Unfortunately, no. I'm even though I am, young, and even though I am technologically savvy, when it comes to life management, I just don't use any tools. I probably should be. I don't even use a calendar oftentimes. I try and keep it all in my head. I just try and keep it simpler. I think once you rely too much on technology for your basic things, you know, then it just lowers your efficiency. It's a false illusion. People think they have all these apps. You know, they have this calendar app, then they have this meditation app, then they have all these apps. But their life's a bunch of apps, and I don't want that. I want to keep it natural. I want to keep it organic. I want to keep it in my head. You know, there's tremendous power in your head if you just use it.
What new thing, book, activity, or skill are you really excited to learn and dive into?
I'm actually really excited in my own book. I'm writing a book at the moment. It will take a while to come out. I've only done chapter 3 so far, so there's, you know, 9 chapters more to go. So I'm writing that book at the moment. Hopefully I'll be done by it by end of this year. So that's what I'm really excited about. I'm taking everything that I've learned in my personal development journey and my, teaching other traders, trading psychology, using what we learned there, taking a lot of the spirituality aspects of it and trying to put it in like one easy book. So that's what I'm really excited about, to get that out there.
How can our listeners connect with you?
Well, the best way for our listeners to connect with me would be to follow me on Instagram. My Instagram username is @delta90. DELTANINETY. And my same username is on Facebook, and same username is on Twitter. So, you know, anywhere on social media @Delta90, they can find me there. And that's the best way to keep in touch. Apart from that, if they're interested in the trading aspect of it, they can visit the website, livetraders.com. And then, they can download our ebook there and learn a little bit more about it that way.
Finally, Amo, what's your definition of success?
I think, there's so many definitions of that, but I would say the best definition that I learned, and it's also a part of my book, is, you know, success, true success, is being happy and being content with each and every area of your life. Because if there's one area, you know, that's working, the other is not, you know, you're not going to be fulfilled. So the true success is to being content, being satisfied with each and every area of your life, health, wealth, love, and happiness.
Successors, I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Anmol Singh. Please check out more successful free content like this at the4pos.com, as well as rate, review, and subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks for listening and prepare for success. Thanks, Anmol.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to do more, earn more, be more, and stay more motivated, visit Amazon.com right now for a copy of Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success. Get it now at Amazon.com. Podcasters, want more listeners? Check out PromoShareCast.com and join the community today. That's PromoShareCast.com. Join today and get the first month free, and you'll also receive 50% off for a lifetime membership. Sign up today. PromoShareCast.com.